I'd like to stay here longer than men's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with Him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell Him, sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing. By faith I look away to yonder Rome supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to Him forever and look beyond the sky, and spend the endless ages in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by and by.
Brother Watts asked me to pray about singing a song today. He asked me to do this, and I don't always do what the Lord wants me to do, and I fail Him every day. But something I try to always do, and I even fail at this, but something I try to always do is if something's asked of me in a church service, I try to do that. And I love Brother Watts. He's meant a lot to me and my family for a long time. And this is one of my favorite hymns in this songbook. It means a lot to me. Listen to the words, "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness. great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Brother Joe. We appreciate the beautiful song. I want to ask for your prayers today. I have a heavy burden on my heart this morning to preach what the Lord has given to me. I thought earlier it felt like a big rock just laying on my heart. So you remember me in your prayers from time to time, and I know those who preach understand this from time to time. I know, get at least a glimpse of what the prophets spoke about when they talked about the burden of the word of the Lord. And so please pray today that God will take his word and make it effective in people's hearts this morning. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 6 if you'd like to read along today. And I'm going to read just a short scripture reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And I suppose if you were to ask me, and I know everybody studies things differently, and a lot of times people get different feelings about what they do read and study, but if you were to ask me to sum up very briefly what I think the book of Ecclesiastes is about, it's a book about life. It deals with the things of life. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes about many different aspects of life. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, he said, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease." Now, I want you to listen very closely to the third verse, because this is where my thought will mainly be taken from today. "If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. And I want to stop my reading there with those six verses. Now Solomon in here, and to get to get the meaning of what he was saying here, he goes back and forth in these verses about someone that lived, was born and lived a long time, and somebody who never was born at all, this one that experienced an untimely birth. The subject that I have today, and I want to use this title, Better to Have Never Been Born. And the thought that I have today on my heart is really, honestly, a very sad thought to me. And the reason it is, I believe, is because I love life. I love life primarily because it's God's gift. God gave us life. I mean, those of us who are here today and living, we're here because God gave us life. He gave us that beautiful gift of life. And it does my heart good to see people enjoying their lives. I've talked to people before that have a lot of stress in their life, and they're always stressed out about something, and they're always anxious about something. And I've talked to them and said, you need to try to find a way to relax and enjoy your life, because you know, before you know it, our earthly lives will be over. And so we need to be happy. We need to find happiness, and we need to enjoy our lives, despite the fact that the Bible teaches us plainly that our lives are filled with trouble, that man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble, yet you can find happiness in this life. And I love to see and be around people that are happy, to see people enjoying themselves, enjoying the gift that God has given them. I love to see children frolic and play. I could sit, I believe, and watch children play and amuse themselves all day long. I love that. And there's so much simplicity in the life of children, because they don't have to have very much to entertain themselves. They can take a ball or something outside and just have a grand old time. And it's such a blessing to me to watch children doing that and to see people that are enjoying what God has given them. And so it saddens my heart to think that it can be said, and I suppose this is the point that I want to make in this, that it can be said. It is possible to say this about people, that it would have been better for that person to have never come into the world. The Bible talks to us about that. I believe that Solomon was talking to us here in this writing about a situation with a person where it would have been better for them to have experienced the untimely birth than to have come into this world and lived many years and had many children and experienced many things in life, because their soul never found any good. And he said the untimely birth would be better than that person. And you know, sometimes, in fact, I believe oftentimes, when we measure life, or when we gauge life, we use the wrong methods of measurement. We look at the wrong things. Oftentimes, if I think if you took this person that Solomon was speaking about, and you looked at someone that had lived a long life upon the earth, and they were blessed with being the father or the mother of many children, and they had seen many kinds of natural blessings in their life, and they come down to the end of their road, and people look at them and they say, well, that person had a good life. Or even a person may say that about themselves, look back over the scenes of their life when they realize that their life is coming to a close, and they look back over the scenes of their life and reflect, and they say, well, I've had a good life. And often that analysis is made based upon the things that they have owned, the things that they have seen. Far too often, the things that a good life is measured by have nothing to do with the spiritual blessings of God. Their soul found no good during their life. And I want you to focus on this with me today. And listen, I want you, lost friend, I want you to really think about this with me here this morning. And I've tried to convey this thought before as I've preached here and other places. And you need to realize and you need to grasp this thought, that one of these days, for every one of us, you know, we live from day to day as God allows us to live, and the clock is ticking and the seconds are passing and they become minutes, and the minutes become hours, and hours become weeks and or days and weeks, and time goes on. And so we are living in time, and as it goes forth, I mean, when we think about just a moment or a split second of time, we don't think about that as being very much. But realize this today, that for every one of us, that we are coming to a single moment where we will face it individually, not collectively, but we will face it individually. For every one of us, we have a moment somewhere out there in the future where there's only one thing that's going to make any difference at all. Everything that we had, everything that we had put our hands to while we lived here in this world, everything that we had made, every bit of labor that we had done, every moment of work that we put in, everything. Whether we have a small family or a large family, whether you have a small house or a large house, whether you have a small bank account or a large bank account, everything will be behind us. And there will be one thing that will make the difference. That one moment. And I'll say this, that is the most important moment that you're ever going to face. And the most important thing that you will ever do in this life is to make the necessary preparation for the end of it. For the end of your life. Now, when people prepare for that, and you can be sure today that people are getting ready to die. People are preparing to die. You know why? Because we know that we're going to. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, again, Solomon said, the living know that they shall die. We're aware of it. We have knowledge of the fact that we are going to die and leave this world, and so people are preparing for that every day. How many of you have a life insurance policy? How many have already secured the place where your body is going to be laid to rest? Yes, preparations are being made by people for their hour of death, but far too many people are leaving off the most important preparation of all. And that's, where will your soul be in that hour? So is it possible? Let me ask this question. Is that right? Is the statement right? Is it possible, given all of the things that we see? You know, there have been many people throughout the ages of time that have come into this world, and they have made some kind of contribution to the world. You know, we sing that song. I know Brother Strode likes the song, What Will I Leave Behind? What will I leave in this world? What kind of mark will I make? What will I leave behind when I have left this world? And I'll say this, that I aspire to leave behind something spiritual a lot more so than something natural. There have been many people that have come into the world. You know, today we can flip a switch in here and have lights in our building because along the way somebody figured it out. Somebody figured out a way for that to be done. We can take this little box that they call a camera and take a picture of somebody because somebody made a contribution along the way and they figured out a way for that to work and they made a contribution to society. I mean, there are a lot of modern conveniences that we have today because somebody that was smart enough figured out a way for these things to work. But listen, friends, no matter what you do in life, no matter how high of a level that you may achieve, you know, whether it's in business or whether it's in sports or whatever that it might be, I mean, people look at people today and they say, man, they're living the good life. Don't they? I mean, they look at people that have a big house somewhere that's worth $1 million and somebody that has a big bank account and somebody that has nice clothes and nice cars and say, man, that person's living the good life. But listen, if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have anything that's worth anything. And I believe the Bible teaches us that very plainly. That is not what we gauge, what we ought to gauge a person's life by. So can we say it honestly? Is it true? Sadly enough, is it true that we could look at people and we could say it would have been better off for them to have never come into the world? Well, let's see what Jesus had to say about it. Jesus spoke this concerning Judas, and he used those very words. Mark chapter 14, verse 21. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to him by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. You see, and it wasn't just the fact, I don't believe anyway, you may have a different idea of what was said there, but it wasn't just the fact that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the sad part about Judas is that he spent about 3 or 3.5 years with him. I mean, when Christ was here in person on the earth, this man spent all that time with Jesus Christ and never came to know him. When it came time to die, he lost his soul to a devil's hell, and he had all of those opportunities to be saved. You know, you'll never convince me that God wouldn't have saved Judas if he would have repented. I believe he'll save anybody that will repent of their sins and trust him. He had all those opportunities to be saved, to have eternal life, just like everybody else. And yet 30 pieces of silver was more important to him than his soul. How about you today, lost friend? Is there something that's more important to you than your soul? Is there something that is hindering you from not only from seeking God, but finding God? Is there something that you have grabbed onto and that you're hanging onto that you're not letting go of that's hindering you from finding the Lord? Let me encourage you, if that's the case, and if you don't, you may not even be completely aware of what it is, but God can show you. But if that's the case, let me encourage you today to let it go. Because fame or money doesn't make any difference what it is. Doesn't even hold a light to the well-being of your eternal, immortal soul. Doesn't even hold a light. You could live in this life just as this man was spoken of here. You could live and beget 100 children. You could live many years. You know, you could build an empire the way that Solomon did. Solomon really built up the kingdom in his kingship, didn't he? I mean, we read about in the book of Ecclesiastes, we read about many of the things that he did. I mean, Solomon had an orchestra. He had a great choir. He had men singers and women singers. And he took, Brother Wheat spoke about this to us, I believe maybe just last week or the week before, about all the wives that Solomon took. Way too many, didn't he? Way too many. He didn't please God. He was granted wisdom, but he didn't use it. He didn't use it wisely. And so he did all of these things, and he built up this vast kingdom, and he built his personal life up in a great way. But if you look at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us about the conclusion that he had reached when he looked at all these things, and he said to fear God and to keep his commandments is the whole duty of man. That's the whole purpose of man. We're not here just to have a big time in life. That's not man's purpose. I'm glad that God will allow that, aren't you? I'm glad that God will allow us a little bit of that along the way, that he will allow us to have a good time, you know, once in a while, but that's not the purpose of man. The purpose or the duty of man is to reverence God and to keep the things that he has commanded us and to be obedient unto God. And listen, lost friend, I want you to know something today. That when God looks at you, when God looks at your soul, God's not viewing it just as, well, you know, here I am, you can have me if you want me. God has expressly commanded all men everywhere to repent. And if you don't do it, God is not going to take it kindly. This preaching, if you want to call it preaching, this preaching that has gone on in our nation about the fact that God is nothing but love and God won't ever do anything harmful to anybody has deceived a lot of souls. I'll tell you what, those that don't obey the commandments of God pay for it. God doesn't take kindly to being disobeyed. Is God love? You bet he is. God is love, and God loves you today, and God wants to save you today, but God is also a God of wrath. God is a God that will execute judgment upon the ungodly, and if you stand before him one day, lost and in your sins, with no cloak to cover you, without the blood of Jesus Christ to cover you, if you stand before God that way, one of these days, friend, listen, it'll be better no matter what you did in life. It would be better if you would have never come better if you would have never been born. If you don't find goodness for your soul. The thing that was said about Judas, when Jesus said, you know, this man that betrayed me, it would be better for him to have never been born. Well, I know that that made specific reference to the awful thing that Judas did to Christ. But doesn't the same thing hold true for the thief that hung next to him on the cross that just reviled him? Wouldn't believe in him? Mocked him? Said, if you're the Christ, why don't you just save yourselves and save us? When he closed his eyes in death and found himself in hell, wasn't the same thing true for him that it would have been better off for him to have never been? What about that rich man in Luke 16 that we read about that had everything, that fared sumptuously every day? Lost friend, let me plead with you today. I pray that God today, church, you pray for the lost today. I pray that it'll get down into your soul today. There's nothing more important than you being saved. Take your eyes off the world and put them on Jesus. Stop looking at these temporal things. You know, the sad part of it in our day is that we have men that call themselves preachers. I've made it publicly known how I feel about this. We have men that call themselves preachers, that they get up in front of people and they don't tell them an ounce of truth. They tell them that God wants them to have everything. God wants them to have riches in this life. God wants them to be comfortable in this life. God doesn't want anybody to dwell in mediocrity and all of these things. And they don't tell them anything about what God really wants for them. God wants you to be saved. As far as I'm concerned, and I don't care if he knows it, as far as I'm concerned, that book that was written, Your Best Life Now, is so far off what the Bible says, our best life's not now. My best life will never be now. My best life is yet to come, and one of these days I'm really going to enjoy life, but it's not here. And my best life is not measured by the house that I live in or the car that I drive or what money I have. My best life is not measured by any of those things. I'll tell you what, there have been times in my life, and I can say this before you honestly today, and I know that many of you can say, those of you that are of age here to have lived during the Depression years, I'm sure can say this better than I can today. But there have been times in my life when I've had a little bit of money. There have been times in my life when I've had hardly any money. And you know what? I was just as happy when I didn't as I was when I did. Because my happiness is not based upon those things. It's based upon something far greater than that. I found the Lord. I found the Lord. He gave me peace in my heart. He gave me a place where my name is written in the book of life. He gave me a home in heaven when my short life here is over. And I'm going to go there here in a little while and enjoy all the blessings and all the riches that God has for His children. And that's where my treasures are today. And my heart is already there. You ever just get ready to go? I have. I love what I have here. I remember hearing this written about in a song. I love what I have here. I enjoy what God has blessed me with here. I enjoy times with my family and times that fellowship with my friends, with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But sometimes I think about what a great blessing it'll be when I get to cross over into the place that really is my home. Because it's not here. It's not here. My home's in heaven. I've got citizenship in heaven. And if you've been saved, so do you. And lost friend, I'll tell you what, I promise you this today. I promise this to you today by experience. I promise this to you today by the Word of God, that you can search this world from one end to the other. You can try everything that there is to try. I'm not recommending it to you. I'm just saying you can do it. You can be like Solomon. You can try life out in every aspect. And I promise you today that you will never find anything that will satisfy you and make you as happy as what God did for me in that hour that He spoke peace to my soul. You'll never find anything in this world that will make you as happy and content to live as that will. All those other things are going to disappoint you. And when your life comes to an end, you'll have to leave them all behind. Maybe somebody else will take them and use them. Solomon said maybe the man that gets what you have, he might use it wisely or he may use it foolishly. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? You know, I'm sure that there have been Christian people through the years that have left money behind and it ended up being used in ways that they never would have even approved of. But that's not what life is about. Jesus taught this to us, I suppose, in this parable, made it as understandable as it could be in Luke chapter 12. He said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." That's not how you measure a good life. You don't measure a good life by living many years. I believe quality is better than quantity. I sure do. You don't measure life by how many years, a good life by how many years you lived, by how many children that you have, by what you own. Because the abundance of a person's life does not consist in that he possesses. And Jesus spoke a parable concerning that about a man that was rich. The ground of this rich man brought forth plentifully, and he was laying everything up. He was stockpiling everything. He was laying everything up in store. And when he got his barns got too big or too small for what he had, and he said, "I'll just tear them down and I'll build bigger barns and I'll lay my goods aside. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, because thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Boy, he had it all figured out, didn't he? At least he thought he did. He thought he did. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Now I want to tell you something, lost friend. I want to make this as plain to you today as God will allow me. One day, somewhere out there, you're going to stand before God. The Bible says we've all got to appear before God, and we've all got to give account. One day out there, you're going to stand before Him. And it won't matter to Him how much money you have or had. It won't matter to Him what you did in life. It won't matter to Him if you picked up the trash or if you were the president. It won't matter. It won't matter. It won't matter how much you owned. None of it will matter. The only thing in that moment that will be of any consequence at all is whether you belong to God or don't. That's it. Your eternal well-being hinges upon whether or not you have been born again by the Spirit of God. Those that have been, God will open up heaven to us. And He'll say, come. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And those that don't know the Lord in that moment, He will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's it. That's it. That's all that God will be looking at is, do you know Him or do you not? Are you His or are you not His? So if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. It would have been better for those who fail to repent and trust the Lord and go off into everlasting torment. It could be truly said for everyone that it would have been better to have never even been. Isn't that sad? I mean, isn't that sad to think about your life and think about the possibility that it could be said about you that it would have been better if you would have never been? But you need to seek the Lord and you need to find the Lord. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to kill and to destroy, but I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I guarantee you today, there'll be people that are arguing with me on this, but I'll guarantee you today that when Jesus Christ spoke about that abundant life, he was not having reference to material wealth. He was having reference to the spiritual blessings of God, the blessing of eternal salvation. That's the abundant life. Eternal salvation. Jesus came. He didn't come here so we could be wealthy, did he? Jesus didn't come here so we could own Cadillacs. I mean, if you got one, fine, but that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come here so we could own mansions. He came here so that we could be saved, so that we could have eternal life. He didn't bleed and die on the cross so people could have their best life now. He bled and died on the cross so people could have an eternal life in heaven forever. And I want to tell you today, don't get caught up in that garbage and don't believe it, because that's not why Jesus came. He came for us to have spiritual abundance of life. I do believe that God blesses us with things. Don't misunderstand me. I do believe that God blesses us with the natural things that we need. But his purpose in coming and suffering and dying was for people to be saved. Well, let's have a song.